And so tell us a little bit. Georgia is beating the odds in many ways. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, you know, she's remarkable. It's the grace of God. She's actually way more further developed than we ever thought she would be. And she's communicating more than ever before via, you know, smiles and cooing and laughing. And, you know, she'll kick her legs when she gets excited. And, you know, she'll let you know if she's upset. You know, she'll cry pretty good.
Sure.
But, you know, it's an amazing thing to see someone defy the odds.
Yeah,
and I think it's the grace of God. I think it's the gift of God that she's doing so well.
And Chad, you explain in the book that even though this has been, I mean, understandably, a painful road for you and for your family, that it's also been this journey where you've discovered God's compassion more clearly than ever before in your life. How does that work?
Wow. You know, I was so unaware of other people's pain until I was in pain. And then I began to understand just how truly compassionate Jesus is. I think of the story in John 11 with Jesus and Lazarus, Mary and Martha. And Jesus arrives on the scene and, you know, Mary's kind of going, man, Jesus, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. And Jesus knows, even though Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, he knows he's about to resurrect him. But even though he knew he was about to solve the problem, still says that Jesus stopped. John 11:35, shortest verse in the Bible. We can all commit it to memory. That Jesus wept.
Yeah.
And why did he weep? Because he felt compassion. His friends, his brothers, his sisters were crying, and that moved him. I think he's just filled with compassion.
That's simple and yet profound, isn't it? So you set out in the book, Unreasonable Hope, from your intimate vantage point with what you and your family have gone through, and you're pretty upfront that you're going to tackle these age-old quandaries, like where was God when tragedy struck, and how could God allow this to happen? But you do explain that you're not going to let yourself off the hook, basically, with easy answers. So even though this is a road you continue to walk each day, Chad, what answers have you begun to emerge with?
I think the first thing you got to understand, the first thing we started to realize, and, you know, my wife, she asked that question, you know, how could God let this happen? And I'd gone to Bible college and really tried to study the Bible, and my first knee-jerk reaction was to say, you know, babe, God did not do this. God was not in heaven crossing his arms, looking at my wife and I going, let's see how they can handle a sick daughter. That's not God. God does not make sickness. Sickness is not from God. We live in a fallen universe. We live in a fallen planet. And sin and sickness are part of what we have to face this side of heaven. And that's why we have a hope in heaven. That when we get there, there will be no more tears and no more sorrow and no more sickness. And so I think that's why we can put our hope in God and get our hopes up. It's because I know there's a better place. This world is not my home. And so I think we've been able to resolve, you know, bigger theological resolutions rather than just, you know, quick bumper stickers, you know, and cliche sayings of,
yeah,
you know, stuff that I think we grow up going, like, this little quote should solve all of your problems. And it's like, that quote really didn't do anything for me.